The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. It is Monday night at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 p.m. Eastern. I am your host, Michael O'Neill, and with me, as always, is Dave Soering. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm a bit anxious, I think is the proper phrasing for it for tonight. I think I got all these server issues that we experienced last week out of the way, and this is going to work.
That's good.
So I like that. I do too. So what we're going to do tonight, I've been advertising our guest Elizabeth Saint for, the past week. I was notified on Saturday by her that she was told by production that she could not be available during this time, so she has actually been postponed to next week. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to try to do take two of our inauguration broadcast. We're going to try to get through it and kind of tell our stories and history, and we're going to play the EVPs again, this time in MP3 form instead of WAV.
And it's going to go beautiful.
Yeah. It is. It's going to work tonight. Everything is going to work. And I'm going to probably say that throughout the entire broadcast. To get started, just a little bit of history of Dave and myself. He obviously has far more history than I do when it comes to the paranormal. So, Dave, why don't you just kind of tell us how your life has gone when it comes to the paranormal?
Sure. We'll do the abbreviated form, but mine started way back in the day when I was about 4 years old. And like probably a lot of people that are in this field that have spent their life looking for answers, I'm kind of doing the same thing. I had a lot of stuff happen in the house that I grew up in, a lot of things that couldn't be explained. Some of it's scary, some of it not, but the scary parts are the ones you always remember because they stick with you. And since that time, as I got older, I was always kind of wondering why something happened. Why, why me? Why was it our house? Was it something that we did? And, we never got those answers, which is frustrating. I'm still looking. And so that's kind of what my goal is. I've kind of transitioned from, I honestly know in my heart that spirits are real, so I'm not looking for spirits anymore. I'm not ghost hunting. I don't like that term. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to rationalize to myself and to some others who are interested and receptive to what exactly might be going on, and that there might be a parallel type of dimension, and sometimes that veil kind of clears and we're able to kind of see each other and communicate with each other. And I think that that's kind of the direction I'm headed right now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that one. The funny thing is I get asked tons and tons of times, by new recruits and colleagues in the field and whatnot, what brought me into this field, and or did I have any personal experiences that made me interested in this field, like you had.
Right.
And I honestly had none. I have really no idea how this became such a passion of mine. I just know that, like in high school, the books I read were textbooks, required reading, R.L. Stein, Christopher Pike, and paranormal books. And it, I didn't even know that teams existed, that people actually would go out and help people affected by the paranormal, and that there are teams of it all around the country. and until Ghost Hunters and Taps. That was my first exposure to paranormal investigation. And I always thought that it was, you know, the Ghost Hunters was the cool name. You know, that's what you wanted to be. And being part of this field now for 6 years and, you know, being trained by you, and when I've grown, you know, such a respect for the field that, you know, I completely agree. I despise the name Ghost Hunters. To me, they're just people who are looking for thrills. You know, they're not out to really help anyone except themselves. Or if they do help anyone, it's secondary. You know, they want the experiences for themselves, and then they'll go and help people if that's what it leads to. And so, I mean, I think back to our very first investigation together at a cemetery up north, and, you know, I had absolutely no idea what to expect. All I knew was that it was a Saturday night, it was 10:30, it was pitch black outside because we were north of the cities, and I was in a cemetery with a bunch of strangers. You know,
yep.
horror films pretty much start out like that.
Yep, and, the horror movies pretty much start just like that, yep.
Yes, and so, you know, getting out of the car and us breaking into pairs, I was with you, and yep. Completely did not want to turn off my flash. Not because I was really scared, but because I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't know where I was going. You know, obviously there's a lot of tombstones and plots and whatnot that are ground level. I obviously did not want to trip on one or step on one. And until you were like, oh, you can turn off the flashlight now. I'm like, oh, crap. But I did, you know, and now as I, you know, I lead my own team, I'm the exact same way. I'm like, you can turn off the flashlight now. I'm like, you don't need the flashlight.
Right.
And, you know, we're even in a room, we haven't moved, and the flashlight turns on. I'm like, what do you need that for? I'm like, we're still in here. We haven't done anything. And, but, you know, I remember that night specifically, as my first time, it was right at 12:30. I was surprised at how, like, right on the, like, there was nothing going on the entire night. And then 12:30, it just skyrocketed. And everybody but me was seeing stuff and you're calling it all out. And it's like, did you see that? Did you see that shadow dart from the tree? And I'm like, no, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. And it was all of you. I mean, it was five of us there that night.
Yep. Yep.
You four who had experience in this were able to see all of this cool stuff and, you know, these red orbs and shadows darting between trees and me shrugging my shoulders, wondering, are you guys crazy? Because I am not seeing any of this. But at least I was able to justify it by saying, you know, to myself that, you know what you're looking for. I do not. And that kind of brought me some comfort. So this investigation, there's an EVP that I'm going to play from it. My very first one that I was able to catch that was answering me or like talking to me. And it's a little boy. And I had brought a bag of candy that night for myself. You know, it wasn't for them, but I figured, you know, hey, why not use it? And so I was asking them, you know, if you can provide proof that you guys are here, I will leave this for you. And so you will, you'll hear me say something, and then the EVP will, or the spirit voice will come in before we talk again. So I'm going to play it twice, and then we'll be back. I still have that candy if you'd like to make these lights light up again.
Actually,
you know, that was right. I still have that candy if you'd like to make these lights light up again.
Actually, you
know, that was right. Okay, so I hope you're able to hear it. Every time that I've listened to him from a show that we've recorded, it's come across pretty clear. So I'm hoping that's still the case. But the little boy, if you can't make out what he's saying, and we couldn't, it was pretty much Dave that was able to figure everything out. The rest of us were stumped. But the little boy is saying, "Do you have any more candy?" And so I'll play it again a couple times, and we'll see if you can hear it.
I still have that candy if you'd like to make these lights light up again. I still have that candy if you'd like to make these lights light up again.
All right. So that was my very first EVP. I absolutely love it. It's one of my, still my favorites after 6 years of, and hundreds of EVPs. Still one of my favorites. And it kind of broke my paranormal virginity. But, you know, that EVP and just people, you know, seeing the shadow starting between, you know, that wasn't the only thing that happened that night. Dave, you know, you actually followed a cemetery light.
Yeah, actually we did. You know, cemetery lights, when we usually see them, they're usually like red or like a bright blue or a kind of a you know, almost like a lime fluorescent green. It's this really cool color green. It's the same lights that we saw at the other cemetery too, but you know, that's another story. But we did. I had seen about a golf ball size, very bright violet colored light, and I had never seen the color violet before. So it really caught my eye. I actually ended up following it, and I motioned to Steve, who was my partner at the time, to, you know, hey, come here, you got to check this out with me. And we followed it, and it went about halfway across the cemetery, and then it stopped right above a tombstone, and it kind of just slowly settled down. And so I thought, you know, this is a fantastic place to bust out what at the time was one of the first spirit voice boxes on the market, which was called the Shack Hack. It was basically just a transistor sports radio that was digital, and you had to kind of go in, take it apart, and make some modifications to it. And I did that, and we used that, and that was kind of our first way to communicate with spirits in a live fashion, basically. And so we had put that spirit box on top of that tombstone where we saw the violet light go down. And I'll let you come in here because I know you're much you have much more vivid memory of it than me, because you were very, very excited when you heard stuff going on, and you were curious. You're like, well, wait, what are those guys doing? I don't want to miss out on that, because Dave's over there with Steve, something important's going down. And so, you know, we started getting responses, and that's just about the time you guys came walking over. So why don't you go ahead and tell them kind of what you heard from a rookie standpoint? That way it's, you know, it's got more credibility, I think.
I do remember it quite vividly. Like I close my eyes and I can see everything that was going on. I knew you had this spirit box. You had told me about it. You had shown me about it before we went. And that was the one thing that I did not want to miss. And you had left me with Nate and Travis, and you and Steve had just kind of walked off, and I was like, oh, you know, whatever. But then like 2 or 3 minutes later, I hear the going, and I'm like, those punks. I'm like, they started the spirit box session without me. I'm like, you know, see you later, guys. I'm like, I'm going to go over with those two. And I left them standing there. And so as I'm walking up, I can hear voices come out of this box, and I can hear you asking questions. And I'm like, oh, sweet, they're getting some stuff. And so I got there and I stood there for maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds before you asked the question, you know, who just walked up and joined us, and, you know, referencing me. And two seconds later, clear as day, Mike comes out of the spirit box. And that was like my defining moment right there. I knew that it was something that I wanted to do right when my name came out of there. And, you know, and it just didn't stop with that. It, you know, we asked it all of our names, and it said all of our names. It even called Nate Dude, because as Travis realized, he'd been calling him Dude all night long.
Yep.
And we
even And that was really cool. Yeah, I mean, that was really cool. You know, so you know that that was a very intelligent response.
Well, yeah, you know, and it also meant
that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. But I mean, that was listening to us the whole time. So.
Exactly. As I was about to say, is that it was following at least Nate and Travis around all night long. Because we even said we have no idea why he keeps saying Dude every time we reference Nate. And then Travis was like, I think I know. He's like, I've been calling him Dude all night long. And we're like, oh, that's awesome. But I mean, even when we were saying goodnight, we're like, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for your time and answering our questions and whatnot. And he's like, you know, you got it, Houston. I mean, it is still to this day the best Spirit Box session I have ever been a part of. And I have been a part of really, really good ones. But it was so clear and so intelligent, and it was only one voice the entire time. Now, you know, we have the SB7, we have the SB11, and you know, specifically made Spirit Boxes as opposed to hacks. Right. And, you know, we have 10 voices trying to talk at once.
Right.
You know, that was the only time still that it was one voice, intelligent, clear. And I just can't stress enough how much I love that experience.
And I'll tell you what, I totally agree with you on that. It's probably one of the, at the very most, it's one of like two or three times that it was so gin clear that the guy, it was almost like the guy was standing there talking to us. There was none of the, hey, what do you think he just said? And, oh, I think there was a different voice just chimed in there. And I mean, it was the same guy, same voice, clear as day communication, like we're talking right now. It was absolutely phenomenal.
I agree.
And of course, we didn't record it.
No.
It was
no,
a personal experience.
Which is sad. Or if we did record it, if one of us maybe
it's
had
gone.
Recorded
it.
Yeah, it's long gone. You know, three computers ago.
Exactly.
I agree with you on that one, because as you know, and I will freely admit, I am awful at Spirit Box sessions. I have to slow it down, you know, try to clean it up, amplify it, listen 400 times, and I still sometimes don't even get it, or I'm wrong. I mean, you even, during the first couple of investigations where we used this, you would play this clip and you would hear it say, you know, you're going to die. And you'd ask me what I hear, not telling me that that's what you heard. And I'd be like, I'm hearing garbage truck. I'm like, I don't know what you're... I mean, you actually told me to leave the room sometimes. You're like, you don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here.
I did, yeah, I know. Yeah, it was frustrating because I'm like, what do you mean garbage truck? What are you talking about? Who said garbage truck? Nobody said garbage truck. The guy said, get out or die. You know, and you're like, what? I didn't hear that. And I'm like, oh my God.
I didn't. You know, at least I was being honest. I wasn't going with the mainstream.
Well, I know.
You know, so that first investigation to me was such a huge impact, obviously, in my life, because I started on this path of learning how to be an investigator and you know, really respecting the field and respecting spirits. But that pales in comparison to my very first home investigation, which was, I think, number 4 total.
Yeah, but yeah, because we did a couple of cemeteries before we actually did that house. Yep.
Yep. And you had the most, or I shouldn't say the most, the best type of experiences in that house. So why don't you tell us about those?
Yeah, no, yeah, I'll get us started on this one. You know, I just got to say, for you to come in there, it would be like going out to dinner and having the most incredible meal that you've ever had in your life, like the first or second time you went to this restaurant. And then every other time you're expecting to get this fantastic meal and you're getting about a third the quality. And I know that that's got to be frustrating as heck for you. when you go out, because you're like, well, wait a second, why can't it be like Dave and Rebecca's house? Why can't there be like stuff moving around and object manipulation and, seeing things? And so a little background on this place. We got called in there because their daughter was having a lot of issues with things that she could not explain. She was getting shoved. She was getting scratched. She was things were moving around in her room at night. She was having horrible, horrible nightmares to the point where like she was jumping out of her bedroom window to escape them. So obviously really bad nightmares. And she would wake up and there would be a very ominous black mass just hovering above her in bed. Sometimes it was trying to attack her. Sometimes it wasn't. It would just sit there and look at her. And so we got called in to see what was going on. So the first night that we're there meeting with them, we did kind of a little mini investigation, Steve and I did. And we did a couple of EVPs. And we kind of took some pictures and we had them show us around the house and we listened to all the claims and everything. And we were sitting down in the living room and we were just about getting ready to go. Not getting ready to go, but kind of wrapping it up. You know, we were going to be out of there within about another 15 to 20 minutes. And down the hallway from the kids' rooms, I saw an entity that showed itself as a... like a vapor, and I don't mean a vapor like a cloud. I mean like if you're at a really raging bonfire and you look at the very top of the bonfire beyond the flames and you see the heat distortion, that's exactly what it looked like. It was this just about a 6 foot tall heat distortion. You could see through it, but everything was wavy and it was constantly changing. And the thing that I'll never forget is it had the most intense and ominous burning orange eyes that I've ever seen ever on an investigation. I've never seen eyes like that ever, except for this investigation. And it was pretty intense. You know, I saw it. And so I motioned to Steve, and Steve looked down the hallway, and he saw it. And the couple asked us, they said, is it there? And, you know, I was... just trying to make sure that they didn't freak out. So I said, no. But it stood there and it looked at us. And the thing that I remember the most about that whole thing was not that the fact that I saw it, because I've seen many full bodied apparitions like that. The thing that gets me the most about that one was it was not afraid and it wasn't being secretive in any way, shape or form. It was standing in the hallway with an air of authority, kind of like, what are you doing here? Because these people are mine and you're not welcome. And I mean, that feeling was just projected into me when I talked to Steve later. We didn't even talk about it that night because we were both kind of in awe and kind of like we had to kind of comprehend and think about what we saw. But the next day we talked about it the next morning and he said that he had the exact same feeling. It was more of a dominant, like, you know, you just need to leave. Everything's going to be fine. I'm taking control of this situation in this house. And that's kind of the start of it, you know. So I know you got a little bit to add in there, so I don't keep rambling. Why don't you go ahead and jump in there and kind of tell them a little bit about what your feelings were when we actually went in there as a group.
Yeah. So, you know, I first home investigation. So this is our very first client. And by this time, I had realized and accepted how important that is. And so I didn't want to screw anything up. You know, I'm a perfectionist, so, you know, I had to be prepared. But, you know, hearing all the claims, I mean, and that was just, you know, the oldest daughter. You know, there was sounds of silverware rattling in the kitchen in the middle of the night, and all the kids are asleep. An 80-pound solid oak door that leads to the basement, slammed in one of the parents' faces. Another child who had OCD, where he had to put everything in the exact same place every single day, or he couldn't even go to sleep, woke up one day, and like all of his video game stuff, like controllers and whatnot, are gone. and they could not find them anywhere. And they left for the morning and to do some errands or whatever, and came back, and they found like one in his sock drawer and one in a laundry basket, and they were just scattered throughout the house.
And one was on top of the one was on top of the speakers that he had in his bedroom. There was that one sitting on top of his speaker cabinet.
Yeah. So I mean, there's all of this activity, which would lead you to believe, you know, especially since you saw the apparition, this is probably a pretty negative case. Not so much maybe demonic, but just negative.
Yeah.
And so I'll never forget, you know, about an hour and a half into the investigation, you say, Mike, go down to the daughter's room by yourself. I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to lose my soul. And you know, I will not be ashamed to say that I curled up into a ball in the corner, and I asked questions. I did investigate, but I would not move, and I made sure that nothing was behind me except a wall. Even though, from what I understand now, even that probably wouldn't have saved me if it wanted to do that kind of stuff. But I survived. And still to this day, we got a lot of like really, really good evidence out of that place. And so I'll actually, Dave, why don't you set it up? Because you were the one in the daughter's room where this was captured.
Yeah, yeah. It was later in the night, and I was sitting down in her room, and I was sitting on the floor. I didn't want to be on the bed because the bed was kind of squeaky, and I didn't want to screw up my EVP sessions with noises that I might not know what they were. So I was on the floor. I believe you were in the master bedroom across the hall from me, and Steve was to my left over by the laundry room. And as I'm sitting there and we're doing some EVP work and kind of listening to each other and taking breaks and stuff, I see a little ball, little white ball, maybe about half the diameter of a golf ball, about a foot and a half, 2 feet off the ground, go down the hallway and past the bedroom door and go towards the stairwell to go upstairs. So I'm totally excited. I grab my camera. I start snapping pictures. I'm like, choo, 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 choo. And you'll hear those. You'll hear the camera going off in this EVP. And then I felt like the air in the room changed. And so I started snapping pictures in the room. Like, I had the closet doors open, so I was snapping pictures at the closet doors. I was snapping pictures at, like, in the corner of her bedroom where she had seen things. And then I was snapping pictures because I felt like something was close to me. So I was turned towards her bed and I was taking pictures. And then we'll just play the EVP and you tell us what you hear. But I'll preempt it by saying that there were five guys in the house and that was it.
Yep. There's five guys, no women. And
no women, right.
Yep. And this is pretty much a female voice.
Yep.
So we know it's none of us. So I'll play it twice for everyone. It's pretty clear, and we'll see if you can get it. Okay. So, I mean, obviously, I think everybody can probably hear the female voice. You know, if you can't make out what she's saying, she's pretty much telling him that they're not on the bed. And you know, what gets me about this one is she almost seems to have like a British accent.
Yeah, which is strange. Yeah, that is strange that she... It was a strange accent, and you know, I can't correlate that I was exactly looking at the bed at that time, but I'm going to tell you, I probably 90% sure that I was like looking towards the bed, taking pictures towards the bed, or at least towards the corner of the room where a really black mass shadow was seen up in the upper corner when we got this voice. So no explanation as to why it's kind of a British woman saying it, but But that said, there were five guys in the house and no women. This house was out kind of more in the country on acreage. There was probably a woman within about, 100 yards of us. So,
yep. So I'll play it a couple more times, and then we will be back for a commercial. Okay, so I hope everybody was able to hear those. It is about half past the hour, so we are going to take a small break for some commercials and station ID. Thank you, and we'll be back afterwards with a couple more stories. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para-X Radio Network.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator. My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond. Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Greg. Jeff.
Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para-X Radio.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Okay, welcome back. Everybody liked those commercials because I know I sure did. I'm the one that picked them out. So, moving on from the Dave and Rebecca case is more of a historical location located north of the Twin Cities area in Rush City. It is known as the Grand House, and it's a beautiful bed and breakfast, nice restaurant, and it has a very, very historical past, which we will probably go to with another show, because we kind of wanted a specific show just for that location. But the investigation that we did there was a Sunday night. We were the only ones in the hotel besides the owner who stays there. One of the rooms is her home. And we were pretty much given free rein. All of the rooms, the basement, the kitchen, anywhere we wanted to go, we were given free rein. And, even from just the walkthrough part of it, stuff happened.
Yeah. It was very interesting because she took us on a tour, and she said she had something she wanted to show us downstairs that she thought was really cool. And so we went down in the basement. Now, this place, I'm pretty sure that this was the original foundation, because the original place had burnt down, and then they rebuilt it, but they rebuilt it right on the stone foundation. So this basement was like late 1870s, 1880s, right around there. Big field stone, just a really, really cool basement. But anyway, so we go downstairs, and she is talking to us, and she said, "We have seen kind of a shadow. Things have happened in this room." And as soon as she crossed over the threshold from the main area in the basement into this room, you'd have thought she was getting choked to death. It was horrible. She was gasping. She was choking. She was gagging. Her face was getting red. She was kind of reaching for her throat. And we had never met her before, you know, in person. And so I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, you know, this, what's going on, you know? And so this kept going on for maybe, you know, boy, it seemed like a long time, but you know, that always does. So maybe about 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, probably 2 minutes. And you know, I had kind of motioned. I said, well, I think I said to her, you know, why don't you, you know, come here, let's get a drink of water or something, you know? And I think we had our water bottles with us. And as soon as she stepped out of that room back into the main part of the basement, she was completely fine. Not a single thing. Her face was back to good color. She was, she didn't even clear her throat when she walked back out. She was just like nothing ever happened. And I set that up because something very similar to that happened later in tonight to you.
Yes. Yes, it did. I actually fought this for at least a good month, maybe even a year. I don't know when I actually accepted that this might have actually happened to me. But you and I were up on, I think, the third floor.
Yep.
Second or third floor in one of the rooms, and we're just investigating. And for some reason, I can actually feel like saliva coming up my throat. And that's really weird because saliva's not supposed to do that. And I remember right before it happened, I was like, I'm about to choke. And sure enough, like that saliva came up and then went right down my breathing tube. And I started hacking. I started choking. I mean, almost to the point where I was about to, you know, intentionally vomit just to get airflow going. And I left. I actually had to leave the room.
Yep.
And, you know, and started feeling better, but I could still, you know, it wasn't so much that since it wasn't just like the air tube got closed off, I mean, it, you know, had saliva in it. So I went back to our room, grabbed my water bottle, chugged that, and everything was perfectly fine. And what you know kind of irritates me is I came back to the, you know, the room that you were sitting in and investigating, and the first thing you said to me, you get choked out.
I did.
It was just like that. I mean, it was almost giddy. You were almost giddy with delight, and you're like, get choked out, and I'm like, nope, I don't know what you're talking. I just started choking. I didn't get choked out. And yeah. I fought you for, we even got like, it's a class D or whatever. I mean, it's really, really low, so I can't play it. Plus, I don't even know if we have it anymore. But Dave actually asked, while I was gone, did you choke out Mike? And there's like this male voice, very, very low, and he says, I did.
Yep.
So, I mean, even when I heard that, I was like, nope, he's lying. I did not get choked out. For some reason, it was a pride thing, like... I should be ashamed that, you know, a spirit was actually able to, you know, make me hack the way that I did. But, you know, and even though later, either later or before, I don't even remember which one it was. I mean, I saw the partial apparition in the basement.
That was before, because we were downstairs. Before? Yeah. We were downstairs before with the full spectrum camera.
Yeah. And. We had a camcorder that had the full spectrum, like ability or the function. That's the word I'm looking for, the function. But we had to have our own phantom full spectrum light. Yep. And if you've never seen one of these, you know, I don't even know how people could use them during an investigation because they're so bright. I mean, they're like a rainbow flashlight.
Yep.
And you know, while I'm kind of sitting behind Dave and he's panning it around the room, just trying to, you know, capture anything. And as the light is getting near to me, it starts to illuminate the area right in between him and I, which is, I don't know, 3 feet, 4 feet, something like that. And I see this pair of legs, nothing else, like maybe mid femur, down to mid shin. And then I see him for about 1.5 seconds, maybe 2 seconds, and they're gone. And I was like, Dave, do that again. And you had no idea what I was talking about. You know, I'm like, no, pan around. You know, could not recreate it for anything.
Right. And I never saw him. Yeah. And we were sitting right there next to each other. But not next to it, but close to each other, like you said. And I never saw that. So.
No. You know, again, personal experience. But still awesome, which pales in comparison. And I don't think he really had any personal experiences, but we had an investigator with us named Jake. And he was only with us for a short time, but that investigation alone, like, was inspiring to me. Listening to him do his sessions, he's a very, very relaxed, free-flowing, you know, go with the flow type guy. And he was able to, like, just sit down in a chair and actually talk like he was talking to a buddy. And he got, everywhere he went, he, for like the first 5 minutes, he had one or two Class B or Class A EVPs happen in like direct acknowledgement of what he was saying. And then he got nothing. But at the very beginning of the night, we split up on the same floor to each different room to do our own little sessions. He walks into room 9, and he's just casually being like, you know, hey, hope you don't mind if I come in. And he gets an absolutely Class A response. So I'm going to play this EVP for you a couple times, and then we'll be back.
You're welcome to come in here and join me. I hope it's all right if I sit here. You're more than welcome to come in here and join me.
I do enjoy that one. So I think it's pretty clear. Everyone can pretty much tell what he says, but, you know, he's like, I hope you don't mind if I come in here. And she's like, oh no, that's fine. But, you know, what gets me with this one, and I know you agree, Dave, is it has like a Southern accent to it.
Yeah, totally. It does. Yeah. Southern, it totally, you know, like, Georgia, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, that kind of like Southern belle accent to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's like, oh, no, that's fine. I mean, I can't even do it if I wanted to. So I'll play this twice more, and then we'll be back.
I hope it's all right if I sit here. You're more than welcome to come in here and join me. I hope it's all right if I sit here. You're more than welcome to come in here and join me.
I do enjoy it. Yeah, so that was our time at the Grant House. It's a place that we are trying to go back to. We've only been there the once, but we had a lot of really good experiences, and I'm really looking forward to going back.
Yeah, I am too. I love the place, and it's a very interesting location, and I think that there's a lot going on there that if you spent some more quality time there, I think that we would come out of there with some really amazing stuff.
I completely agree. But it's about time that we get to our main event story. It's a location that both Dave and I absolutely love. It's in Maxwell, Iowa, otherwise known as the Farrar Schoolhouse. I actually have a two-day event coming up there, June 2nd and 3rd. I'm so looking forward to that. You have no idea. But Dave and I were there for an event hosted by Chad Kalick. If you don't know who that is, he's an award-winning documentarian. And he was also one of the stars of Paranormal State, if you remember that TV show. My love of the place comes from the evidence that we got and the stories that everybody else had. I really didn't have any personal experiences, but you did.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, that absolutely phenomenal place. You know, in my recent history, it's got to be number one or number two for the amount of things that happened there and the amount of evidence that we caught. So I'll give a little bit of background here. We're going to do a whole show on this place. And Mike and I got something in the works for later in the year that we might actually go do like a lockdown at this place for a weekend. That's how much we like this place and how much great evidence we got. I'll give you a little quick idea of what's going on here. So old schoolhouse, a lot of rumors about the potential of either the principal or the janitor molesting kids. There's no written proof that we can find that anybody was prosecuted for any crimes concerning that. But a lot of people have, just by word of mouth, kind of confirmed that something happened along those lines. So this place has been on a couple of different TV shows, and one of the couples that was there had reported seeing about a 7-foot-tall guy with kind of flaming hair and really skinny and menacing kind of lime green eyes. And the thing that about him that was really terrified them was that his legs were put on backwards. So as he was kind of coming after them down the hallway, if you can imagine somebody that had their legs reversed kind of walking towards you, that probably would freak me out too if I saw that. But we had gone up to the principal's office, which was a very strange setup. It was on the 3rd floor and had a big window, and it more resembled like a guard room, like an observation room, than it would a principal's office. It was a very small room. It had a desk and like a file cabinet and a window that looked out outside. And then it had this very, very large picture window, one piece, that looked out over the whole entire hallway. And then off to the side, there was a room where you could store documents, more file cabinets, maybe a couple of shelving units, stuff like that. So we went in there with the intention of kind of like setting ourselves up, and I like to do this a lot when we go to sites, that we knew that they hid something in the floor and we were going to go find it. So the second we went, Josh and I went in there. Mike was doing something else down the hall with another group. So Josh and I went in there, and right away we went into that room, and some of the wooden floor was deteriorated. So we started looking in the wooden floor with our flashlights, and we were in there kind of digging around, putting our hands down in there. And we said, "Hey, I found it. I found the evidence," you know, and we were walking out. And when we did, we got an absolutely phenomenal EVP of a guy that was basically like, you know, just like menacing, PO'd growl at us. And then another different male said something else. And we'll play that EVP for you when we do the show on Farrar. But, then we went and sat down. I sat on the desk. I said, "We're going to turn all of our equipment off. And if you have something you want to say, or you want to show us, it'll just be us." And Josh saw a very ominous dark shadow, very large, on the wall, come out of the room. It went across the wall. I didn't see that part of it, but I did see the part when it kind of came behind me. And within a couple of seconds after that, it showed up on the floor as, like, if you can imagine this, if you took a piece of dry ice and you dropped it into a bucket of cold water, you would have like a foaming, like a frothing, foaming, kind of like misty silver, you know, flowing down towards the floor. That's exactly what it looked like. It started from nothing, worked its way up. It was only about 1.5 feet away from me and maybe 3 feet away from Josh. It worked its way up to probably about 3 feet tall or so. And I said to Josh, "Grab your camera." And I probably shouldn't have said it. Who knows what would have happened? It might have actually been a full body apparition, like right in front of us. But as soon as I said that, Josh reached for his camera and the thing totally vanished. It just poof, it was gone, man, in a millisecond. At that point, Josh got really sick, had to get out of there. He basically just busted out of the room, took off running outside. And I left the room, went and hurried up and found Mike. And I said, Mike, you got to come see this, man. You got to come see this. You're not going to believe what just happened in this room. It was absolutely amazing." I said, "So get your butt in there right now." And I said, "I got to go get some fresh air, and I'm going to go check on Josh, because he just, like, is sick as a dog." I felt like he was going to throw up, like he was being attacked, like something was grabbing his chest and compressing his lungs. I said, you got to get in there. So get in there, and, you know, I'm going to go outside, and then I'll, you know, check back with you after you do a session. And so go ahead and you tell them what happened after that." So,
well, I mean, I know that, you're talking about the humidity that, that came in to the room right as you guys were about to leave.
Yep.
And, you know, and I do remember walking into that room with the group that I was in, and I did see some condensation on the wall, and on the wall, but on the window. And you're telling me about this, like, oh my God, it's so hot in here, this condensation. And I'm like, eh, I'm like, whatever. I'm like, yeah. I don't even care.
I don't even care.
And I
and that's totally, to be honest, totally because you were jealous, because you, it wasn't me and you in there, I think.
No. I will never in a million years admit to that. So you might as well just drop it.
Okay.
But I didn't want to start my session. I wanted you out of there. So I figured if I were to get all excited, then we would want to press and talk about it some more. But, you know, for some reason, and maybe this is just me preparing myself mentally to not give in to anything or whatever, but other people's experiences, like, really don't affect me. And I don't know why. Like, I'm really happy for you, but everyone, even people that I'm with, I'm like, oh my God, they're like, oh my God, I just saw a shadow. And I'm like, okay, let's continue the session. Like, I didn't see anything. And that's just the kind of the way that, I don't know, maybe I'm programmed right now that I've done it myself, that I'm just like immune to everybody's claims, because it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe it's just because I like evidence. I really, really like evidence. I would be more than happy to go my entire career and not have one more personal experience, but have evidence to show clients. I mean, so if the shadow that somebody sees isn't caught on tape, then, you know, it really doesn't mean anything except that it's a personal experience. I like the objective stuff instead of the subjective. And so I think that it probably started at Farrar with that one. It just, like, I can't even think back and be like why it didn't affect me. So it's just like, eh, well, you know, let's move on.
Yeah. And, you know, I understand that mentality. I totally agree with you. Me personally, I'm not looking solely for evidence. I think the personal experiences are phenomenal. And I like a mixture of it. I like a mixture of, you know, if my personal experience can be documented with evidence, that's even that's more fantastic, because then I can say, hey, this is what I saw, and check this out, and then show you a picture or a video clip or whatever, and back up what I'm saying. But even if I can't show you that, I mean, how many millions of people, or maybe not millions, maybe hundreds of thousands of people have that, you know, corner of the eye type of thing, you know? Hey, I was doing laundry and I saw this guy walk across my basement, and I was like, what the heck, you know? And I think that happens a lot. And I think a lot of people don't talk about it because they don't want to be judged by other people. That'll be a whole nother show. But I think honestly a lot of people have experiences, but they're afraid to talk about them.
I agree.
But let's get this clip, man.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So this I'm going to let Dave set it up, but I just want to inform everybody that this is probably one of the greatest EVPs you will ever hear in your life. Let Dave set it up for you real quick, because we're running out of time.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm by myself. I decide to do a solo session in the auditorium. I'm going after the guy. I'm going after the 7-foot-tall dude. And I'm provoking. And I told everybody I was going to provoke. And because I was provoking, I didn't want anybody else in the room. So I said, I'm a big boy. I'm going to be in there by myself. I will take care of it. I'll be fine. But I don't want anybody else in here in case things start going bad. I don't want anybody to get hurt. So I went in there and started provoking, and I had my recorder sitting on the stage in the auditorium, and I was kind of heavily going after the entity that's there that basically has been scaring and attacking people. And there are documented attacks at this facility too. So that said, I don't think I need to even say anything else about the EVP. It's probably going to be the best EVP you've ever heard. It's better than anything you've ever heard on TV. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. The only other thing is Jennifer was in the taking photos.
Connecting room. Yeah. Taking pictures. Yes, I had her with my camera and she's taking photos. Yep.
Yeah. But nobody is talking except Dave. I'm going to play this twice. This is a 40-second clip. So I'll play it a couple times and then we'll be back.
white light I have inside of me scare you? Is that what it is? Is your darkness so superficial that you can't do anything about it?
You don't scare me.
Is that why you went after kids? Innocent? Don't know any better?
You can be better than that.
Easy to trick? And then what happens when you steal a kid's innocence?
If you're hiding in the corner, come out.
They're destroyed forever. Does the white light I have inside of me scare you? Is that what it is? Is your darkness so superficial that you can't do anything about it?
You don't scare me.
Is that why you went after kids? Innocent? Don't know any better?
You can be better than that.
Easy to trick? And then what happens when you steal a kid's innocence?
If you're hiding in the corner, come out.
They're destroyed forever.
Okay. So, I hope that everybody liked that one. I know I certainly do. That's another one that I always bring to interviews and whatnot. But so basically, you hear her saying, you don't scare me. You can do better than that. And if you're hiding in the corner, come out. What we didn't realize until a couple months ago, maybe 6 months ago, while doing an interview with a new recruit for my team when I was playing this, is she says something at the very beginning, too, that we never really bothered to make out. And I think it's almost better than anything else. So I'm just going to play this one more time because we're down to 3 minutes left. So I'll play it once. But what she says is, me and my best friend, we will live again. So listen for that at the very beginning.
And yeah, it's as I'm talking. Yeah, you'll hear it's I'm talking and she says it kind of at the same time. So,
yeah, exactly. So I'll play it one more time and then we'll be back for wrap up.
Is the white light I have inside of me scary? Is that what it is? Is your darkness so superficial that you can't do anything about it?
You don't
scare me. Is that why you went after kids? Innocent? Don't know any better?
You can be better than that.
Easy to trick? And then what happens when you steal a kid's innocence?
If you're hiding in the corner, come out.
They're destroyed forever.
Okay. So, you know, that is our show for tonight. Dave, you want to send us off or start us off with the closing?
Sure. You know, this is just a sample of the things that Mike and I have seen, and things that we've done. We have a ton of stuff that we're going to share with you guys. We're going to have some guests on, people that you're going to recognize, maybe some you won't. You know, we really appreciate you being here. We appreciate you listening to us and spending some time with us. We hope that you learned a little bit. We hope you enjoyed yourself. We hope that you heard some things that you were like, hey, that was great. You know, you were right. That's better than I've heard on TV. So hopefully you guys have heard some things that that really, you know, made you want to come back and see us next week.
Absolutely. And if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Facebook at Odyssey Files Radio. My team is Odyssey Paranormal Society. You can find us on Facebook or odysseyparanormalsociety.com. So until next week, when we will hopefully have Miss Elizabeth Saint on with us, I bid you good night. Coming up next is Matt with the Parrot Caves. Have a good evening.